Hello, OT friends, and welcome to the Uncommon OT series. I'm Patricia Modis, and I'm your host, a Filipino-American, native New Yorker, current California transplant, bulldog mama, and an uncommon occupational therapist myself for the past 22 years. On this podcast, you will hear me proudly feature the unique careers of occupational therapy practitioners working in non-traditional and role-emerging practice areas, settings where OT is uncommon. Be inspired as you listen to these up-close conversations and be energized and motivated to follow in these unconventional paths. Happy listening, friends. Today, I'm super excited to introduce you to our guest of honor, Nicole Raftus. Nicole is a pediatric therapist based in Canada who specializes and uses equine movement and animal-assisted therapy in her practice. She is a graduate of Queen's University School of Rehabilitation Sciences Occupational Therapy Program and is a registered OT in Guelph, Ontario, Canada. For the first 3 years of practice, Nicole traveled and worked as an OT in 7 locations throughout the USA and provided volunteer OT services in Guyana, Nepal, Thailand, and India, taking in knowledge about the wide variety of roles OTs play in various settings, as well as culturally sensitive and environmentally appropriate ways to support clients. Nicole also mentors a number of younger OTs and supervises students from McMaster University. Her desire to share information and resources has led her to partner with other OTs in Guelph to create TREEO, Trio Occupational Therapy. It's an online library of courses and resources meant to support parents, teachers, and OTs looking for pediatric resources. So without further ado, I'd like to present to you Nicole Raftus. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you, Patricia. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
You're welcome. I'm very excited to talk to you about the variety of uncommon OT work that you do. The last thing that I mentioned was your online resource, and you know, we'll definitely make sure we provide our listeners with just ways to access all of that information. But aside from that, you're also involved in equine therapy and have been a pediatric therapist for many years. So before we delve into all of that good stuff, I'd love for you to just tell us a little bit about your background, please.
Sure. Yeah, great. As you said, I currently live in Guelph, but I grew up initially in Hamilton, and then we moved to Guelph, and I've always loved to travel and explore different areas. So after I graduated from OT, I had the chance to live and work in the States, in Australia, in Western Canada. And I think part of the, aside from the curiosity and the life experience that those opportunities brought for me, it really opened my eyes to how many different roles occupational therapists can play. And when I learned about your podcast, and I love the title, you know, The Uncommon OT, I've just found myself to be very excited by this profession and wanting to try a lot of different roles. And I found that I've been able to incorporate some of my own personal interests in those roles. So I'm a little bit of a photographer on the side, and I've been able to use that in some of my roles with OT.
Nice.
I love to garden, and I've used some of that in some of my private practice or out at the farm where I'm doing the OT with equine movement. So I have 3 kids. And so being in pediatrics, I've found that, you know, my experiences as a parent have contributed to my professional work as well. My kids are now 19, 16, and 13. Mm. So in those teen years, but I've kind of been growing as a professional as I've been growing as a parent as well. So those are kind of all the hats I wear between, parenting and photographer, gardener, traveler, and OT.
Ah, I love it. Sounds so balanced. You have a little bit of everything in there and also very busy. But thanks so much for sharing, a little bit about your background, a little bit about yourself. Would you mind describing to us the uncommon or some of the uncommon OT work that you currently do and, the setting in which you provide the service and, the population that you serve?
Sure. So COVID has presented a lot of challenges. One of the silver linings that came out of it for me is that I was invited to join our equine program through Pathways Therapy. Our director, Steph, is a physio, and she's been running this program for 15 years now, I think. She grew up around horses and has, been with them her whole life. And when COVID hit and I wasn't able to be in the clinic as much, she offered, why don't you come and work outside? It's a little bit safer. A number of my clients who weren't comfortable being indoors were comfortable being outdoors. And this just launched this new interest of mine. And so at first, the first clients that I brought to the program were clients that had a history of trauma, dealing with a lot of anxiety, emotional regulation challenges. And Steph and I talked about the differences between, the physio program and what OT could provide in that setting. And we really saw an opportunity for the power of animal-assisted therapy to be a tool for helping some of these kids with engagement and trust building and rapport building. There's a lot of inherent motivation, a lot of my clients that have some struggles with social skills or social engagement, they may have struggles with other people, but with animals, there's just a lot of unconditional love and curiosity and an interest to be involved. So those first clients that I brought to the farm, it was just amazing to see their reactions because I had seen them in clinic settings before, and came to the farm, just the way their face lit up, the way they opened up, what they shared, how much more they participated, and the anxiety piece, for some of them, they were quite nervous about working with a 1,500-pound animal, but the confidence that came after a number of weeks of engaging in an activity that has some inherent risk and learning to do it safely and starting to build some of that competence and confidence, you could see parents were saying that it was transferring to other things. They were, speaking a little bit louder. They were, trying things that were a little bit scary to them. And we talk a lot about exercising our bravery muscle, exercising our focus muscle, because when you're around an animal like that, some of the kids who have, challenges with attention and some executive function skills, there again, there's an inherent motivation to pay attention and control some of those impulses because you need to for the safety involved in working with the horses.
Got
So
it.
it was really fascinating to see how different this clinical set or this setting is, and working with those animals can really work on some of those skills.
Oh, I love it. I want to ask you more details about a typical session. And, right now I know you're working with kids and you work with them in a farm. So I'm super fascinated by that already. But first, let's take a couple of steps back. I want to hear more about, what inspired you, what drew you to this type of work.
So, I used to work at the Children's Hospital in Ottawa, and on the mental health unit, working with kids with significant mood and anxiety disorders. And we had a pet therapy program there where we had a lovely dog, a lab that used to come and visit. And the OTs were the ones that were responsible for coordinating the program. And that was my first experience of seeing the power of animal assisted therapy in a professional setting. I've always known pets provide a lot of therapeutic value, even, you know, in the home. But seeing how some of these kids who really had significant difficulties getting out of bed, engaging with in therapy, talking at all to anyone. And the one day I remember in particular, there was a boy who had been on the unit for about a week and a half and hadn't been able to engage at all and had some pretty significant aggressive reactions and really no one was having any luck trying to break through. And so I went into his room and let him know that we had a dog that was going to be coming to visit. And I wondered if he wanted to come down to meet the dog. And he sat up and he was like, yeah, yes. And so he came with me and he came into the gym and there was four kids there. Mm-hmm. And when the dog came into the room, the dog, the owner, you know, let him off of his leash. And he just walked right across the gym and went to that boy and lay down and put his head in his lap.
Oh,
and wow. It was like he knew, like he just knew which of the kids needed him the most. Mm-hmm. And the boy put his head down and just started like rubbing, you know, he put his head right to the dog's head and was rubbing his ears and scratching him and just saying like, hi, boy, like, oh, you're so beautiful. And like just started talking. And was showing all of this engagement and affection. And I said, you know, would you like to help him practice some of his tricks? He knows how to catch a ball. He knows how to, you know, part of what we do is help him practice his tricks. And he was like, yeah. He engaged in the whole session for an hour. He loved it. And he was smiling. He was laughing. And after the dog left, after the session was over, he stayed and he talked to me. And that was our, like, that was our connection. And so then he, the next day he came and engaged in an OT session without, you know, the dog present. And it was just, you know, it was that open, it opened a door and it opened a connection between the two of us.
Yes.
And it was just, you know, very powerful to see how that can work. So when Steph told me, you know, about the equine program and asked if I would bring OT to the program, I was really excited to think about the possibilities there. And we have a dog in the program as well, Tucker, and we have a cat, Trouble. And
Tucker and Trouble.
all of them, all of the horses, the dog, the cat, they, you know, Tucker and Trouble bring their own power to the program. The kids are just so excited to see them. They always want to do the routine of, you know, helping Tucker practice his tricks, give Trouble of the treats. Like, there's just, it's wonderful to see all of the elements from gross motor, fine motor, cognitive, social skills. The animals just present so many functional opportunities for meaningful engagement in all of these different skills. It's
yes.
You don't have to think very hard about it. The animals kind of present these opportunities and then you just go with it, right? Like, you know, the dog wants the child to throw a ball. And so we're all of a sudden we're doing targeting and throwing and catching and gross motor stuff. And then, you know, the cat wants some treats and the treats are really small and they have to open the zipper like to get into the pouch and they're using a pincer grasp to pick out these things. And so it makes therapy easy and the kids are so excited to be there that it's really not very hard to get them working on their goals.
Oh, thanks so much for these great examples, just even in terms of how one can modify an activity, right? Sort of relating it to fine motor tasks and gross motor tasks and actual things that you might do in a clinic with a kid. So I love those examples. Thank you. And, you know, kind of adding the extra element there too, right? Where you're looking at sort of emotion regulation and helping, you know, kid really be in tune to the animal's behaviors, right? Really paying attention to one's behaviors, which really encourages them to focus and to, you know, keep their eyes on a certain object, for example, right?
Yes, absolutely. And there's an empathy, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for talking about body language and communication, nonverbal empathy that, you know, we do that a lot where we'll say, how do you think your horse is feeling right now? How do you know that? What are they showing you? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, social skill, communication. I'm working with one child right now who really has a hard time with, speaking up for themselves and being assertive. Mm-hmm. And we're using groundwork with the horses where she gets to be the leader and lead the horse through patterns. And she has to do most of it nonverbally. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, you know, a strong, confident posture and mm-hmm. direct horse with your body and doing it in a calm and respectful way, but also with a certain amount of assertiveness because the horse needs a leader. And yes. there's this natural generalization that happens, you know, where we have half an hour where we're working with the horse and they're doing these things physically and practically they're working mm-hmm. on. But then we always have time afterwards where we sit down and say, okay, so how can you actually use some of these skills at home or at mm-hmm. school? How would, you know, what does assertiveness mean? What does it mean to be a leader in your family? What does it mean to be a leader with your friends? Like, how are you going to stand up and say, you know what, this is how I'm feeling right now, or this is what I need right now, you know, when it comes to other situations. So it's not just mm-hmm. practicing these things at the barn. We always try to generalize these skills to say, okay, so let's give you one little thing to think about this week for homework mm-hmm. where you could try to be assertive with, you know, maybe it's your brother who you've been having a hard time communicating with. Or with your parents, like maybe you could just try one time this week to say, Mom and Dad, this is how I'm really feeling.
Yes. You
know, and be assertive and actually could, because your opinion matters and your feelings matter.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I love everything about this program and your approach and just really how holistic it truly is.
Thank you. And I, you know, there is a part of it that is a little bit selfish. It is so lovely. It's so lovely to work on a farm when the weather's good. But you know, I feel like it's therapy for me every week. It is so relaxing. And when we're doing the mindfulness stuff or when we're doing the mindful walks, like being out in nature, what mm-hmm. it does for kids, what it does for me, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's been one of my favorite uncommon OT roles so far.
Yes. Well, you know, I don't think that it was purely luck that led you here. You know, you mentioned your motivation being really having seen the power and the value of animal assisted therapy in the clinic, right? And then COVID happens and this opportunity presented itself. But you worked it. You yep. made it happen, right? Yep. And that's well, I want to segue into our next question now, right? So you were inspired to do this work. What path did you take? I know that, you know, this is how you sort of saw the vision. But now here you are. You yep. are, you know, doing what you're doing in this capacity. So would you mind sharing with us a little bit about the path?
Sure. Yeah. So I really owe a huge debt of gratitude to Steph, the physio who invited me to join the program. She took me on. She was my mentor. And so for the first season, we always did our sessions together. So she had a client that she would be, you know, doing physio with on horseback. And I would have a client that I would be, you know, working on my OT goals on horseback, but she was always nearby and was, you know, she did a fair amount of training with me beforehand. And she basically supervised me very closely for that first season. She's a very holistic physio. And so she and I, you know, sat down and talked about, okay, how do we envision OT expanding this program? What else mm-hmm. can we do? And so that first season, we sort of focused on the mental health piece because mm-hmm. I was, you know, a lot of the clients I was working with, they were the ones interested in the program. The second season, I took my American Hippotherapy Association Level 1 certification.
Mm-hmm.
really make sure that, because there are a lot of risk factors if you're going to be working in this field, and you have to be absolutely have to be aware of the safety issues. And I think taking that course is really important if you, you know, feel that this is something you want to do. And so that was amazing. Steph, again, was my mentor through some of the practical pieces where you have to learn how to do the tacking, the leading of the horse, all of the safety issues around mounting and dismounting. So I had a lot to learn. It was a steep learning curve, but it was fascinating and very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an OT and a physio who ran the course. So it was really interesting to hear the other OTs in the course and the OT instructor to hear what other people were doing. So I sort of started looking at, okay, what are other OTs who are working in this field? What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into an OT who's doing equine assisted work in London, Ontario. And so I called her up and asked if I could go and see what she does and chaperone for a day. And that was fantastic. And she was doing a lot of phys med. She was working with kids with cerebral palsy and other neurological issues that there was a lot of neuromuscular involvement. So it was very different than what I had been doing so far. But it was really fascinating to see some of the possibilities around what this modality provides for gross motor, fine motor, sensory motor, things like breath support. How it was amazing to see the before and after videos of how kids can make functional changes through the stimulation that equine movement provides. It's really powerful. I can't go into all of it today on your podcast, but I really encourage people that are at all interested in this field to look up, like there's some videos, you know, that you can access quite easily to see some of the amazing things it does for coordination, balance, motor planning. So that really opened my eyes. And so this third season, Steph and I, and we have another OT in the program now because we have so much interest.
Congratulations.
It's amazing. So now we're really, you know, we are targeting even more gross motor, fine motor goals, even in the OT program. It's not just a physio, the physio is doing the motor stuff. And I love it. I'm seeing tons of opportunities and potential.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. So where do you get your referrals? I know initially, Steph took you on to her practice. And so currently, how are you able to get your referrals, and how do you charge for your services?
So Pathways Therapy is a private clinic that has physio, OT, speech, and a number of other services. Our primary referral source is through Pathways. So when private clients call Pathways and say that they're interested in occupational therapy, they are provided with a list of the services that we provide. And one of the services is the equine program. A lot of most of our referrals come through Pathways Therapy, and Pathways gets a lot of their referrals through, you know, doctors and other professionals in the community that know of our services. I also provide private occupational therapy services as an independent contractor in Guelph. And so when I have private clients that call me, and most of that is just word of mouth referral, I let them know that they can see me in the clinic in Guelph, or they can be referred to Pathways for the equine program. So I've been bringing some referrals just through my own private practice as well. And then the third is through Family and Child Services. I've developed a bit of a relationship because I've have more training and experience with mental health and specifically trauma-informed practice. I've developed a relationship with certain social workers and other professionals in the Family and Child Services sector. And so a fair number of kids that get referred to me, you know, have traumatic, you know, have a background that involves some history of trauma, and will come through that avenue of referral. And so that is publicly funded. Like they are they pay for the services.
Oh, I love that that option for healing is available to these kids.
Yeah, no, it's very powerful. I had one little boy, well, he wasn't that little, he was 12, who wasn't attending school, significant depression and anxiety, couldn't, you know, didn't get out of bed much, didn't smile. Like, you know, mom said it had been almost a year since she felt like she'd seen him smile. Oh, and we had been working virtually at first, online, and it was going okay. It was fine, but it wasn't stellar. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, what do you think about coming and checking out this program? Because I knew that he loved animals. And so FNCS, you know, funded it, and he showed up at the barn, and he was literally jumping up and down, like squealing. He was like, you know, I knew there was going to be horses, but nobody said there would be a dog and a cat. And this is the best day of my life. And like, his mom was just in tears. She was like, I have not seen him anywhere near this happy in over a year. Like, this is just made my year.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. And he was just a completely different kid in that setting. And so engaged. And we have sidewalkers and a horse handler for safety. So there's an inherent community team that comes with this program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would have to talk to these university students who were the sidewalkers. Mm-hmm. And there was all this built-in engagement and activation.
Yes.
And you know, opportunity for team building. Mm-hmm. That made him feel like he was part of a little community, you know, part of a team. And he'd been, you know, in his room in bed for the better part of, you know, for the better part of a year. So for his mom, like, you know, she just said, this is literally game changing for him. Oh,
that's incredible. Yeah. Can you talk us through what a typical session might look like? So here's a kid, parents drop them off. Is that the typical? The parents will come along for the session and kind of be there observing?
Yeah. So I'll give you the lowdown that I give the kids is, okay, so you come and you wait at the white fence, and then Tucker the dog comes to greet them at the fence along with one of our university students, and they get to walk Tucker in to the OT area. And on the way, they do a little bit of the dog training. So they get to do a little bit of leadership, they get to do a little bit of assertiveness, they get to have that unconditional love. You know, Tucker drools all over them.
And I love Tucker.
He's a big, he's a black, half Burmese mountain dog, half black lab. So you can imagine, you know, he's a big bear.
A big and, gentle bear.
Exactly. He's just a gentle giant. And yeah, so the kids love that. They get their dose of Tucker love. And then they come in, and we have an OT folder that they have a check-in. And so we use the zones, and I say, you know, how has your day been so far? Tell me, were there any day where you were feeling blue, where you were feeling green, where you were yellow, where you were red? And we talk about that. And then we run through the four things we're going to do for them during therapy today. So we do something for your brain, something for your body, something for your team, and something for your heart or your spirit, we call it. And so we talk about, you know, for your body today, we might do 2-point riding, which, you know, really takes a lot of strength in your legs, or do balancing activities where you have to weave through the poles while you're riding your horse, and you have to reach over and grab the flowers that are going to be on the top of the poles. Mm-hmm. Or we do bow and arrow. You're going to be shooting a bow and arrow to hit a target for eye-hand coordination. Mm-hmm. Something for your body. We're going to be do something for your brain. So it might be, you know, you're going to have to remember all of the steps to this obstacle course. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to have to learn a new song, and you're going to get to be, you know, the one leading it by the end. So there'll be memory, there'll be sequencing, there'll be doing actions with it that you're going to have to, you know, factor in. Something for your team. So we might have a team game. Or we might have a, you know, would you rather a conversation, you know, would you rather have a pet shark or a pet llama? While we're trying.
And have a really stimulating conversation centered around that, I'm
That's
sure.
right. Again, just sort of social skills. We'll play games or do activities around that. And then the fourth is something for your spirit or your heart. And so we've created a calming sensory trail. So we'll take the kids down. We'll do a mindful walk. What are three things you see, three things you hear? There's a bird bath, bird feeders. They get to fill up the bird feeders, fill up the bird bath to help nature and to do something good for the environment and their animal friends. Or it's, they'll say, what was good for my spirit today is that I exercised my bravery muscle, or I'm really proud I did that new trick, or I'm really proud that I got on the horse, even though I felt a little bit nervous. So we always structure it with those four areas. And then after they ride, they come back into the OT room, and we have their OT folder again. And depending on their goals, if their goal is printing, then we'll do some type of printing or drawing activity. And it's often focused around the farm. So we might say, okay, draw a picture of you on your horse, and let's write, sign your name at the bottom. And so we try to keep it fun but functional and related to our setting. Or sometimes it'll be a puzzle or a board game, that's again related to their goal. And we have the university students available once they're finished sidewalking. Sometimes they'll come and be a part of the session if we need more social skills or communication skills and we want a bit of a small group.
And
And then we have,
are
sorry.
these universities, sorry to interrupt, are these university students OT students?
So far, we have not had, because Waterloo and Laurier, they don't have an OT program. So the students are usually biomed students or students that are interested in education. But a number of these biomed students are interested in becoming physios or OTs.
OTs, okay.
Yeah, some of them are interested in becoming nurses or med students. So a lot of them, come to us because they're interested in healthcare. So they're great, and they help with, making new games and activities for the program. They help with all the setup and the cleanup. There's a lot involved, with equipment and all that kind of stuff with the program. So after that, the kids do their second part of their folder, and then they get to choose a little treat from Hoot, our owl. We have a cookie jar that is an owl, and that is the transition item because it is really tricky to get the kids out the door. They want to stay.
I
They want to stay and
get
hang out with Trouble. They want to stay and hang
it.
out with Tucker. They want to stay and watch the next person ride. So Hoot the owl has his treat, and they're not allowed to open the treat until they get into their car. So that's our transition item.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I love everything that you've described, and I asked about the students in particular just because I think this would be such a great opportunity for them to really see how OT can shine in this setting, right? Particularly because you have a physio right next to you
Yes.
who, you can really kind of compare. Okay, so this is, how they would do it, and this is how, we put the OT spin on things. So incredible. Do you have any career advice for any of our listeners on how to get started on this path? I know you described your path. Anything you would suggest?
Sure. So I think looking at what programs already exist in your area that you might be able to shadow or even volunteer. These programs need a lot of people to run safely and safely. So the OT who joined us for this last season, she came out the first time a few sessions as a volunteer, as a sidewalker, to observe and learn about the program and figure out if it was right for her. I think reading about, there's a lot of research. There's a decent amount of research about the impact of equine movement. A lot of it is focused on physio goals, but it's growing for OTs and speech. It really is
Yes.
growing in popularity. And there are some courses specific to mental health, which is my next goal, is to take one of the mental health practitioner with equine movement course. So looking at what's out there in terms of the research and in terms of the continuing education, I think that is really a good idea. And then if you decide that you do want to move ahead with investing in it, I think taking the American Hippotherapy Association course is a really baseline to feel competent around the safety issues, because you are responsible for the safety of your client, you're responsible for the safety of your staff, and for the safety of the horse.
Yes.
So you really need to familiarize yourself with all three of those aspects. Having a good mentor, somebody who has a lot of experience with horses and experience in this field, I think is really important if you're new to it. There are people who have a lot of horse experience that decide to go into this as OTs, but there's also like quite a few people in the AHA course really had no horse experience. And that's because if you, as long as you feel confident that the team that you're working with, that there are people on your team that do have a lot of horse experience and you do your own training, you can, you know, your ultimate goal role is as the OT, and you're ultimately working on the goals for the child. The horse handler is the one who is managing and handling the horse, but you do need to be aware of the factors, and ultimately you are responsible for the whole session. So,
Okay.
yeah.
So on that note, are there any I guess special insurances or liability stuff that you might need to acquire?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Steph has been running the program for 15 years, so that was already in place when I joined the team. But yes, we do have liability forms that the families have to fill out, and we have created safety plans and training. We do training for the volunteers, we do training for the handlers. Everybody there has to sign, you know, liability forms. And the barn where we work has their own safety standards and their own, you know, rules and regulations that we have to be aware of and make the families aware of. So we have created like a participant manual that has all of that information. So again, like, you know, looking at a program near you, looking at those details and asking other therapists who are already doing this for a little bit of mentorship or, you know, best practice suggestions, it is a good thing to be aware of needing to do that.
Oh, good. Thanks for that advice. Are there any common myths or misconceptions about your current roles that you'd like to demystify today?
I guess, you know, one thing I noticed when Steph asked me to join the program, and some of the other, even other OTs that heard that I was doing this, it was hard for people to imagine how our goals can translate to that setting, or, you know, why riding a horse, like doing those things on horseback, why that might be beneficial. Like a lot of people can really see the physical benefit, but of course, you know, that it requires a decent amount of core strength and it challenges balance and coordination. But a lot of, you know, a lot of OTs that I spoke with at the beginning, they didn't really see the natural fit for the mental health or the cognitive, emotional regulation, fine motor, how that all fits in. So yeah, I think knowing that it really is a very holistic modality, and that any goal that you want to work on can be done in that setting.
Yes. And I honestly think that your examples today really helped me see those pieces, right? Those very specific examples of how this can be translated, even how those goals can be translated in the child's home environment, right? And really having those conversations, I really appreciate the thoughtfully created structure that this, you know, your program has. And, you know, this is obviously a testament to your OT skills and, you know, the skills that you've acquired over the years, right? Having worked with, you know, the trauma, you know, pediatric population first and foremost, but also having worked with a group of children who were traumatized and have had to deal with difficult situations. So thank you for the OT work that you're doing out there. I don't want us to forget to talk about your course, because I feel that, you know, it's so important that you did this, that you created this course, particularly because you know so much and you've learned so much over the years of over your years of practice. And now it's time to share.
Yeah, Elizabeth, who she's my main partner in Trio now, she has 27 years of experience, and she has 29, and I think I'm getting up to 27. and we've been supervising a lot of students in the last couple of years in particular, and both have just... we see this shift happening where we feel like it's time to give back. It's time to share some of the resources and experiences and continue to learn from the students, because, you know, new information, new research, best practices. So it's a really nice give and take, a really nice partnership we're finding. And we just started thinking, you know, how do we harness this energy and this information? And the idea of Trio came up, that, you know, having some online courses for parents and teachers and OTs that want to learn about pediatrics, that having online courses that people can do at their own pace would be a really nice way to do that. And then also to have Trio tools, our little handouts. They're more like, you know, 1, 2, 3 page handouts that are quick reference, hopefully, you know, practical, evidence-based tools that parents and teachers and OTs can use with their own clients. We just thought, you know, let's make this stuff accessible. Let's make it really easy to use. And we use it in our own practice, you know. So make up these tools, and Elizabeth will share with me, I share with her. Our other colleague, Shannon, was involved in our first course, Pandemic Parenting. The three of us worked together and created that. And it was another COVID silver lining, you know, we, all three of us being in private practice at the beginning there was a lot of cancellations. We had a bit more time to finally put into some of our resource development. And it was really fun and exciting to collaborate and create that content, and try to put some stuff out there that could help families that, you know, we know people have been struggling with the isolation, with feeling like lost some opportunities, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety. So we put our heads together and put out some research, evidence-based tools and supports to try to help families see a path to get through this, hopefully stronger and feeling like they're helping their kids continue to grow and learn.
Well, I'll make sure that we have all of your, you know, course information listed in our show notes so that our listeners can access them. Right? Okay. How do we follow you? Can our listeners be in touch if they're interested in speaking with you a little bit more about your OT work?
Sure. So I'm on Instagram at NicoleRaftis.OT. I post some things on there about my equine program and about the Trio courses and tools. You're going to have in your notes there the link to our website for Trio. People can email anytime, NicoleRaftis@gmail.com. You're welcome to email if you have questions about any of the work that I do. including mentorship. Elizabeth and I both offer mentorship for OTs that would like more information about pediatrics in particular. Yeah, I think those are the main things. Email. Oh, I have my own website as well for my private practice, NicoleRaftus.ca.
Got it. And that will all be listed on our show notes.
Thank
Thank you
you.
so much, Nicole, for sharing your OT work. Super interesting OT work. I learned so much today about how the skills can be transferable, how you really approach, the work. I love how it starts from the moment that the kid gets out of the car. And yeah, I just, I'm super impressed by how well thought out it is and how you're really just looking at all of the angles. And again, really highlighting how OT can, be of service in that setting.
Yeah, thank you. And I feel again really lucky that Stephanie allowed me to join the program. And we're definitely, growing and learning every week that we run the program. We're constantly looking at, okay, what else can we do? How else can we make this more effective? And I'm excited. We're only in our third season, and I see huge potential for growth. And it's wonderful to be part of a team of such, like, just a wide variety of people that bring this together. And ultimately, it wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for Tucker and Trouble and Delilah and all the other horses out there that make this possible. They really are the magic that makes this work. And absolutely, of course, the OT goals and us, guiding the activities to work on certain skills. Of course, that matters. But really, I like to sit back and watch the animals do their magic and just see how the kids thrive in that setting. And it's just such a wonderful, uncommon OT opportunity.
Oh, I love that. And congratulations to you for finding the work that really is meaningful to you, right? The work that seems to light you up and just really, makes you feel really alive and this is what you became an OT for.
Thank you. I love it. Every Tuesday and Thursday when I'm leaving the barn and there's a beautiful sunset, and I just constantly say, I am so grateful that this is the work I get to do.
Oh, thank you for sharing, Nicole.
Thanks so much for having you, Tricia. And I tell all my students about your podcast. It's a wonderful opportunity for OTs to see how many options there are within our career, within our discipline. And you make it very obvious the sky's the limit for what OTs can do.
Absolutely. And you're an amazing example of that. So thank you, too.
And that wraps up another inspiring episode of the Uncommon OT series. Connect with me at www.transitionsot.com. And don't forget to sign up to be part of the Transitions OT community. By doing so, you'll receive my latest compiled list of uncommon OT practice settings, the latest news on mentoring offerings, uncommon OT live events, non-traditional OT resources, and more. You may also follow me on my social media pages on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if you love this episode, head on over to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, and Google Podcasts to follow, rate, and leave a review. I also ask you to consider pledging your support to my passion podcast project by being a patron on Patreon. It is very much appreciated. Sending big OT love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.